What's up? What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to a special Where Are They Now? Series on the Side Hustle Show. This week, we'll catch up with several popular guests from the archives and see what's going on in their life, in their business, since we last recorded. Big thanks to Jacques Hopkins, the onlinecourseguy.com, for sponsoring this series. Jacques started an online business teaching piano at pianoin21days.com and has since grown it to multiple six figures a year. He's been on the show a couple times in the past. Most recently was episode 302 a couple years ago. But the bottom line is there's never been a better time to package up the knowledge that you already have in your head and sell it as a digital product. Jacques is my go-to guy to learn from about the nuts and bolts of building a successful course business. And we've put together a free on-demand workshop for Side Hustle Show listeners called The Simple Path to Online Course Success. You'll find that at theonlinecourseguy.com/sidehustle. Once again, that's theonlinecourseguy.com/sidehustle to check out the free Simple Path to Online Course Success. First up in this Where Are They Now series is Erica Krupin, who turned some earbuds at the start of the year in episode 368 when she shared how her pet waste removal business was earning over $1,000 a week with 80 recurring weekly customers. Since then, in just 9 months, Krupin's Poopin' Scoopin' at poopinscoopin.com has grown another 50% on top of that. To find out how, let's get Erica on the line.
Right now, my location here in Westland, we're servicing almost 120 customers per week, and that doesn't include our one-time cleans. And then our Muskegon location is servicing a little over 15 customers per week, and she scoops one day a week.
Okay, so a franchise setup. How have you expanded? Because Muskegon is opposite side of the state.
Yeah, no, it's not a franchise. It's really weird how it happened. I had posted in a buy-sell trade group on the other side of the state, didn't realize I did that. She had reached out to me, basically just wanting to know more about it and wanted to know if I was going to come out there. I told her, no, absolutely not. And she's like, well, I would love to start doing this out here. So her and I just kind of pieced it together, and it's not really a franchise, but she runs under the Muskegon. She's an employee of KPS, but she runs the Muskegon location, and she pretty much takes care of everything out there.
Wow, that's awesome. Expansion by accident, kind of.
Yes. I have a lot of faith in her. She handles it. She's basically me out in Muskegon.
Okay. Do you see yourself going down this geographical expansion path more?
I don't know. It's stressful. I'm very lucky with her. I just don't know if going into business with other people, if that would be a good idea. That's something I definitely would have to put a lot of thought into. But as for right now, I'm good where the business is at right now with the two locations.
Yeah. What accounted for this growth from 80 customers to 120, 135, if we count the other location?
Facebook, word of mouth, just having a good reputation within the community. A lot of times it's my customers chatting with their friends or family, and they're like, oh, girl, I have a pooper scooper, Krupin's Poopin' Scoopin', you should totally check them out. And then they refer me out, and then they give me a call to set up a service with them.
Anything specific you're doing on Facebook? Because I remember our conversation last time, and you were like, I probably made $5,000 or something from this one Facebook post. And it was like, that kind of blew my mind a little bit. But curious, what's going on social media these days?
It's been very tough lately, but mainly because of everything that's going on with, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, I'll say Rona, but with everything that's going on with that, when this all happened, when they shut everything down, a lot of people were scared to post on social media. So I backed off a little bit, and I did get a little bit lazy with my posting because I was afraid to post because I didn't want to get the backlash of like, oh, here's my service, pay me to pick up your dog poop, when people were really struggling because they had lost their jobs. So I kind of laid low for a little bit until the governor started to release the restrictions. She started doing that. And then I started posting more consistently on Facebook. I will say, though, that I haven't had the reaction that I had from that first initial post, unfortunately. But that happens with the Facebook algorithm. A lot of times you can't keep using the same post over and over again. So you have to think of different ones. So now in my Facebook page, what I do is it's a cover photo of the month. And then people submit their dogs. We choose like the top five. Then it gets voted on. And what I do is I take that post and I share it into different groups, asking people to please vote. So it's kind of like indirectly marketing my business.
Oh, okay.
Because it's bringing attention to it. Like, oh, wait, what is this? A dog thing? What is Croupin's Poopin' Scoopin'? So it's like indirectly marketing, but it's still bringing traffic to my page.
Gotcha. So these are local groups of dog lovers or local buy-sell groups?
Yeah, local buy-sell trade groups. I have to pay attention to the groups. I look, you know, I kind of do my research. I find out what groups allow dog posts, which ones get good engagement. If there's a local dog park in the area, I usually share the post to that because they're dog lovers. There is some strategy behind it. I'm not just blindly posting in 40, 50, 60 groups like I did with that first post.
Gotcha. When the pandemic hit, and you're kind of like in the backyard, so I imagine people would be okay, provided they still had the income to like, yeah, you can come and do your thing in the backyard. You're not coming into our house. It seems relatively low risk. But what was the initial reaction from the existing customer base?
So we were in a gray area because technically we fall within sanitation. I called my local city and asked them, am I allowed to work? Because I did not want to get fines and I didn't want to get in trouble. So I shut down for one day because I needed to regroup and really think about what I wanted to do. I reached out to a couple other scooping companies, some of the more senior companies and like mentors that I have, and asked them what they're doing. And they all said that they were staying open. So that's what I did. As for the staff, we made sure to have masks on us. And we always have sanitation supplies because we are, you know, we deal with dog poop. So we are very clean as is. And we kept the masks on us. So if one of our customers did come out into the backyard and wanted to chat, we would put a mask on. And we don't enter homes, so we never had that issue.
I love all your like pink signs and stuff. I see your social media posts and stuff. It feels like a really concerted effort to become, I don't know, a dominant player in this space or carve out a pretty healthy market share.
Yes, that is my goal. Poop is not cute by any means, but I'm like on a personal mission to not have it be like a stigma and not have people embarrassed about having a poop scooping company. And I feel like with the colors, with being pink and black and bubbly and just fun, it kind of takes the stigma away from it where it's like, oh yeah, I have a pooper scooper. Who doesn't?
Yeah, an affordable luxury for the homeowner. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then eventually next year, my goal is to have, I want an entire hot pink fleet. Like I want hot pink vehicles just driving down the street. So when people see a pink vehicle, they know it's Croupin's Poopin' Scoopin'.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is it still you going out and doing the work? I think your husband was helping you at some point last time, or have you started to delegate the actual scooping chore?
Yeah. So my husband, as of last year, he was helping me in the winter. But as of today, I have 3 part-time employees. That's how I'm able to talk to you today because 2 of them are out taking care of the route. I don't scoop on Mondays or Tuesdays. And then I scoop a partial day on Wednesdays, a partial day on Thursdays, and then a partial on Friday. So I have transitioned. I'm kind of like in like stage 2 of my business where I'm transitioning more into like the office work, like working on the business instead of so much in the business.
Well, that's exciting to hear. It seems like it kind of took off really fast. And you're like, well, now how am I going to fulfill all this work? And then now it's, okay, take a breath. Like, I don't have to be the one doing the labor all the time. Let's get some help here and figure out a way to make it work. And I'm excited for, like you said, version 2.0, but the second stage. What do you see coming down the road? What else are you working on business-wise?
Business-wise, I'm transitioning over to a customer relations management software. That's actually what I was working on today before our call, to streamline everything, have all my invoicing, my routing, and customer profiles all in one. That's going to be huge for the business because that's going to also free up a lot more time and automate things.
Which system is that?
It's Jobber.
Okay. I've heard good things. Do you like it so far?
So far, yeah, this is the first week. They're out right now trying out the routing software. I haven't heard any negative feedback yet, but I'm still waiting. Because it's going to be a lot different than our other one. But for the price point for what we were using before with Circuit is awesome. If you're individual, kind of like how I was in the beginning where it was just me. But when I started to branch out and have team members, it didn't work for us.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm working on that and just trying to figure out how to network and market to like today's age and what to do. Because it's not like I can just go into a pet store or go into the vet office again and drop off cards. So I'm trying to readjust and just figure out what works and how to online market more effectively without spending a ton of money.
Without spending a ton of money is always the challenge, especially as these social platforms mature. It's like, hey, we'll give you lots of free organic reach, get you hooked, and then you got to pull out the credit card as things change there.
Yeah.
Anything you found working on that front so far? Or is it kind of, we're learning as we go?
Well, I'm learning as I go, but the creative posts, the engaging posts on Facebook that gets people to share and gets people engaged, that's what really has been working. And just taking the time to respond back to the people that comment. Because I'm at the point right now where it's like, I'm putting all this time and effort into all these posts. And it's my responsibility to make sure and reply back to them because they took the time out of their day to respond to me. So it's like developing that relationship to where they feel comfortable enough to tell their grandma or their best friend about our services.
Yeah, and I've heard that on Facebook and on YouTube as well. Like, it doesn't matter what the comment is, make sure you reply because that's a signal that, hey, people are engaged with this content. They're spending time on this platform. And it just sends those happy signals back to the algorithm to hopefully show it to more people.
Yeah. I heard this thing called don't post and ghost, which means don't post something and then disappear. If you post on your page, you need to be around for like the first 20 minutes to respond back to those people that comment right away.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, what kind of initial reaction is it getting? We're going to show it to a handful of people. If they don't like it, it's going to get buried. But if they do, if it gets a good response, then it can get a little bit more reach. Erica, any other words of wisdom before we wrap up here?
This is always such a hard thing for me. It's just be consistent. Sometimes you have to slow down to speed back up. That's kind of what I've been really focusing on lately. It's just slow down to speed back up. If that makes any sense.
I kind of like that one. I've definitely been pondering that one myself. Sometimes you got to slow down to speed back up. Check her out, poopinscoopin.com. She's got some videos on what it's like behind the scenes in this business over at Crouppen's Poopin' Scoopin' on YouTube. And of course, I encourage you to check out the original recording that we did. You'll find that at sidehustlenation.com/Erica, Erica with a C. Erica, thanks so much for catching up and excited to hear what the future holds, and I'll catch up soon. All right, for this special takeaways segment, I am joined by none other than Jacques Hopkins, the online course guy. You can find him at theonlinecourseguy.com. Big thanks to Jacques for sponsoring this series. Jacques, welcome back to the show, first of all. And second of all, what do you think about what Erica described as stage two of her business, this kind of evolution on the delegation side, the systems and software side, from beyond just her doing the service herself?
Well, Nick, I mean, thanks so much for inviting me to be part of this. I mean, it's such an honor to be able to kind of sponsor, if you will, these few episodes of the Where Are They Now. I think it's a really cool idea. It's been fun listening to these stories, and I've been on your podcast a couple of times myself. It's really fun to get people back on, get the updates. And obviously, you're starting here with Erica. What a cool, non-glamorous business model, but she's trying to make it as glamorous as possible. I absolutely love the idea for just all the pink. If all the vehicles could be pink, like, that's really cool. You know those pink Jeep tours over in Sedona and maybe some other places? It reminded me of that.
Okay, yeah, I like the branding element that she's got going on here. Yeah, it's not the sexiest business in the world. And this is something, too, that I've been guilty of, like, almost have the blinders on for years, like, side hustle, like, online business, blogging, podcasting, content marketing, online courses, all this stuff, like e-commerce. It doesn't have to be that way. Like, there's plenty of opportunity right here in your hometown.
That's exactly right. And opportunity is the key word there, right? She saw an opportunity and she took it, and she's been very successful with that. I mean, this is a problem I'm literally dealing with. Like, I've got a 70-pound black lab. She's 12 years old. Awesome dog, but like, she poops, right? And it's like, I'm the one that scoops the poop. I would love to hire a service like what Erica has to just handle this for me. Honestly, like, until I heard her on your podcast the first time, I didn't know that that even existed, but I'm very intrigued. She's solving problems, and problems that most people don't want to deal with themselves. It's really cool. But I do think that there's opportunity for her to scale with some sort of online business.
Where would you take it online?
Well, you know, she was talking about issues with scaling, right? She never intended to have the second location. She never necessarily intended to set up the franchise model. And if that's the case, I'm obviously very biased, right? I have the domain, theonlinecourseguy.com, but why can't she create an online course teaching others to start a pooper scooper business?
Yeah. And it sounds like she may be going down that path now, creating content for YouTube with kind of the behind the scenes of what this is really like. So I would not be surprised to do another Where Are They Now with Erica in 12 months and see that that's where she's taking this thing.
If we could take that one step further, one idea I had for her as well, if she creates an online course to teach other people how to do this, then she could offer some sort of additional package for people, or maybe once they go through her course, to kind of be a part of the Poopin' Scoopin' network. And if somebody wants to kind of be on that website in the locations tab, they pay an extra dollar amount to her to be the representative of Poopin' Scoopin' in that particular city. And then nobody else can be the official one in that particular city. So it's not necessarily a franchise. It would kind of be on the back end of an online course.
Yeah, that is an interesting model where people are listening to this show and say, look, I'd like to take a crack at this in Baton Rouge, in wherever, and say, yeah, I could do this, you know, rather than recreate all these systems and processes from scratch, like, oh, just let me plug into the Poopin' Scoopin' system. And whether or not that's technically a franchise, of course, there's all sorts of legal restrictions around, you know, calling yourself a franchise and stuff like that. But maybe there is something to that.
Maybe so. It could just be kind of an upsell on an online course. But I'm always thinking about how can this business or this person's experience and the knowledge they have in their head turn into some sort of successful online course that helps people. That's what I did with piano. It's not the same as scooping poop, but I did it with piano and it's been fairly successful.
Fairly successful, being modest, over what, 1.3 million in sales at this point?
Pretty soon going to cross over 2 million. The first million took probably 6 years, and the second
first million
one,
is the hardest.
Yeah, first dollar is the hardest for sure. But yeah, about to cross over 2 million, but over the lifetime. And that's also revenue. That's not profit either. But it's been pretty successful in a non-money-making niche.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting to hear. If you want to learn more from Jacques on how to turn the knowledge in your head into an online course, I encourage you to check out theonlinecourseguy.com/sidehustle, where you'll find the simple path to online course success, an on-demand training Jacques put together with the common traits that successful online course businesses share and what most people get wrong and end up struggling with their course. Jacques, what else can people learn once they hit up this training?
Yeah, so the reason I'm calling it the simple path to online course success is because I'm all about simple. That's what one of the reasons that Piano in 21 Days, my online piano course, has been successful, is because I took what seems like a very daunting thing that seems like it's going to take years to learn how to do in playing piano and simplified it and made it so the average person can just be competent within a very short days or weeks. And so I try to do the same thing on the online course side of things as well. I help people with online courses, and what I specialize in is just keeping things simple. And so I've really identified through my own experiences with my piano course, as well as I have a podcast too for the past like 3 years, just called The Online Course Show, where I interview other course creators, and I've noticed these trends. And there's really four main components to a successful online course business. And so in this workshop, we break down what those four components are and really the secret to succeed within those four components, how you can dial each one in, whether you're just starting out and where you start, where you go next, or if you have a course already, you can use this and really diagnose where your specific problem is. Sometimes just changing one thing can be the real game changer for your business.
Very cool. So in this workshop, you're covering how to generate consistent, profitable traffic to your online course, why the highest converting sales funnels are often the simplest, right? Like I think Greg Hickman said, start simple, get ninja later. And most of the time you don't need to get ninja later. So I like that. And how importantly, how to set up a course so that students actually go through a transformation. Like they're going to be different after having gone through this material. And I think that's a really important piece. And like Jacques said, helpful for both beginners and those who already have an online course and are looking to take it to the next level. Check it out, theonlinecourseguy.com/sidehustle. And big thanks to Jacques for sponsoring this special Where Are They Now series. That is it for me. That is it for us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show, where you'll hear from a Side Hustle Show listener who took action on something they heard years ago on the show and has built it up to 10 grand a month. I'll see you then. Hustle on.